So the anger continues to boil in Baltimore. Thousands of protesters took to the streets of the city this weekend over the death of African-American Freddie Gray, a 25-year-old black man who died in police custody this month. In parts of the city, protests got violent, with storefront windows smashed in, bottles and rocks thrown, police in riot gear made a dozen arrests. Mayor Stephanie Rawlings-Blake held a late-night news conference with Freddie Gray's twin sister and several others. She called for calm.
I have and I will continue to support the vast majority of the demonstrators who are exercising their right to peaceful protest. But we cannot and will not let a minority of incendiary individuals exploit the honorable intentions of those trying to exercise their rights.
As we look at the Baltimore situation and try to put it in the context of other incidents over the last year, 2 years, are we seeing the emergence of a far more visible debate and sense of public accountability for police actions regarding brutality and treatment of African-American citizens? Or are we seeing the escalation to an all-out cultural war between citizens and law enforcement? With us in our studio is Peter Moskos, former Baltimore cop, now associate professor at John Jay College of Criminal Justice. Also on the line is Lester Spence, professor of political science and Africana studies at Johns Hopkins University, author of Stare in the Darkness, The Limits of Hip Hop and Black Politics. So, Lester Spence, what do you think is going on here?
So just a few numbers. Baltimore has paid out approximately $6 million since 2011 in lawsuits against people alleging police brutality. There was a period of time when O'Malley, who's now a potential presidential candidate, was mayor, in which they made over 700,000 arrests, and the city of Baltimore itself only has approximately 640,000 people. And the census tract that Gray lived in has spent approximately $47 million on incarceration. So I think that what we're witnessing is kind of a catalytic moment, if you will, in which people are just increasingly frustrated with what they feel to be anti-black policing.
Would you say, though, that this discussion is a sign of a more visible debate over accountability for police, or are we just seeing a devolving into a kind of war here?
Well, there are a number of different forms it can take, right? So people have been focusing on the violence, but it's important to note that if you look at something like 1992, the Los Angeles rebellions, there was about $1 billion in property damage. 2,000 people were injured. And for what I understand, there are maybe a dozen arrests and probably not more than, I'd say, $10,000 in property damage. So we're probably not looking at a war. We're looking at people who are frustrated, and people are doing a lot of organizing here in Ferguson and elsewhere to kind of create a more humane police department, more humane mode of policing.
Peter Moskos, would you say this is a natural process with some positive implications, even given the unfortunate death of Freddie Gray?
I hope so. Certainly, it's in everybody's interest to have better policing. And to some extent, attention on police departments, even when it's received very negatively by police officers, that often leads to better policing. I hope we see that here. Baltimore has historically remained a bit isolated. What happens in Baltimore stays in Baltimore, and there are incredible social problems there that go beyond the police department. I do wish we could talk about the issues more before someone is killed. These issues aren't going away.
How do we do that? And Lester, I want your help on this. How do we do that before? We don't need to wait for a death to have these kinds of discussions. Peter, first you, and then Lester.
I'm happy to turn this over to Lester, but I do want to add one thing to what he said, to add on that. When I was down there as a police officer in 2000, and the numbers have declined a bit, in the Eastern District, we made 20,000 arrests in a year. There were only 42,000 people living there. If you don't live or work in these neighborhoods, they're too easy to ignore. What we saw, not just with the demonstrators, but with the violent part of the demonstrators, we saw a little bit of the ghetto get out of the ghetto. And at some point, without the violence, I wish that could happen
more.
U.S.
police saw that? Ghetto get out of the
ghetto? I think America saw that.
Uh-huh.
We just don't see those neighborhoods where Freddie Gray lived. The problems there are immense, and we have to deal with them. I think the unfortunate part is we as Americans, as society, have these problems, and then we put police in there to deal with them, and then when they make mistakes, we blame them. But the problems go beyond the police.
Lester.
Yeah, Excellent points. I think that what it's going to take is, I mean, what's already happening, right? People have been organizing against this issue, against police brutality, but they've been organizing against the type of two societies we see in Baltimore for decades, far longer than I've been here. And what it is going to require, yeah, I don't see a way around it, right? Moments like these give the rest of the society the only glimpse into the organizing that's actually been done. If something like this doesn't happen, people are just going to ignore it.
But can we make these discussions higher visibility prior to an event like this? Think preventively. Is there a way to do that, Lester, politically and in terms of, relations with law enforcement?
I understand the question. And I consider myself to be pretty decent at what I do. And I'd say, unfortunately, the answer is, if history is any guide, the answer is no. We don't see massive spending in South Central Los Angeles until after the 1992 rebellion. We don't see massive spending in Detroit until after the 1967 rebellion. We don't see massive spending in, Baltimore had a rebellion after King was assassinated. You go to those neighborhoods, and a number of them haven't been changed.
Mm.
Peter, so I think that's what we're looking at.
I'll give you the last word, Peter.
I'm perhaps equally non-optimistic, but I do think we also have to separate the concept of legitimate rebellion from just, young idiots breaking things and causing violence. I don't see that as the same, and at some point, we do have to maintain order. The whole concept of this being simply a rebellion, I think, is a little simplistic.
Although there are lots of African-American commentators and others who say that, the story of developing greater trust with authority and with vulnerable populations in the United States is sometimes a violent story, even though it's also a story of vigorous debate and civic organizing as well. Peter Moskos, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And Lester Spence, professor of political science and Africana studies at Johns Hopkins University, author of Stare in the Darkness, Limits of Hip Hop and Black Politics. Peter Moskos, a former Baltimore cop, now associate professor at John Jay College of Criminal Justice. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.